God tells us He loves us through the prophet Malachi and gives us news about three areas of life in constant need of repair and repentance, and that would be in worship, in marriage and family, and stewardship. So these are areas where we'll always be growing to be more like Christ, let Him do His work in us. Always areas where we fumble, sin against the Lord, and are in need of His goodness and forgiveness. So look for His help for you in those areas. First comes worship. God says, where is the honor that is due me? A son honors his father. If I'm a father, how do you honor me? So that's how the Lord is asking us those questions. He's looking at our heart, our actions, our attitudes in terms of honoring Him, worshiping Him. Do you worship God to honor God, or do you worship God for a lesser reason? Maybe, looking for God to give you a thrill, or evaluating those around you, evaluating the world, whatever you're into, you're not into God. But God says, honor me, put me first, and He helps our hearts do that. He says, it's like you are bringing diseased animals to my table, leftovers from what's really important to you. Now, back in the Old Testament, folks would bring, they were told to bring the best they had to worship God. Best lamb, best sacrifice, first things, first fruits, okay? Things to say, God, you're important to us, you're first. But instead of doing this, people say, gave the leftovers, what I have left, you know. Sometimes that affects us in terms of our relationship with God, serving ourselves throughout the week, serving whomever, and then the worship of God is, well, I hardly have any energy left to worship God, and certainly not too much affection or not too much enthusiasm. God says that's treating fellowship with me or my table as contemptible. So God confronts the people. He lets them know they can change, and He can bring rightness to that relationship. God can get our hearts right first in terms of being prepared, and He's the way that we know Him and worship Him now and throughout the week. Here's a something that we can keep in mind. The Lord gives us 112 waking hours throughout the week. That's even with the 8 hours per night. Most of us don't get that much, but say we do. 112 waking hours throughout the week. And we say, we're going to worship God. Okay, 1 hour, as an old hymn says, one brief, bright hour of fellowship with Him. And so that time, plus maybe a little bit more, really only represents 1% of our week. Okay, 1%. Now, many times as a Christian, I know in my life, it was a fantastically great effort, which required friends inviting me, putting guilt trips on me, saying, well, if you really love the Lord, you know, you'd go to church, and et cetera, et cetera. And I would say, but I just can't do it, you know. I just can't bring myself to the 1 hour a week. It was like totally unreasonable. And perhaps if you felt yourself in that boat, or if you are in that boat, and this is the kind of sermon where you're preaching to the choir. It's fun to preach to the choir because the choir already knows this. Not this choir, like the whole choir. In the choir, we say amen to this. But the one time per week with God, you know, that 1%, make it a first praise to God. Isn't it great? You get to start the week, and who knows what the Lord will bring our way. Sunday, Monday, all the way through Saturday. More problems than I could figure out. Okay, more pain and difficulty and heartache. I really want to know God's goodness, praise His name throughout. To start that week together as a gift from God to us. And He provides. And then spread the word concerning that. You know, nowadays, I mean, if you told somebody you should go and worship God 1% of your time a week, they'd look at you like, you know, how dare you even challenge me with such an absurd thing that I can't keep up with. But God would make it a blessing. And he asked the people, he said, am I not a great king, and my name is to be feared among the nations? So he confronted God's people with that blessing of worship. I want to, God is merciful, you know, and so he helps us with that. I do want to say that throughout the Bible, God teaches us a lot about worship. First of all, he offers himself to us so we can worship God through God, the Son. And it wouldn't even depend totally on our, you know, what we bring. We're fatigued. God said, you still can come through my Son. Oh, my love was divided throughout the week. You still come through my Son. And I thanked and praised God. I enjoyed him throughout the week. Will you come to God through his Son? Come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he has done. An opportunity of praise to God, something we fall short of and certainly get confused about. But the focus on Christ, you'll never have problems worshiping God. You'll say, oh, glad to do it, love to do it. You know, wish there was more of it, gathering together. And so only the Lord could pull it off in our day and in our hearts. The Lord does give us many good directions about worship. For example, in the Bible, worship means to bow down. There's a sense of I trust Christ in worship. So there's being justified before him, being at peace with him. You and I bow down, you know, in our souls. Means we're surrendered to him at sanctification. So many good things happen when we worship God together. And he lets us know, of course, we do worship him in our daily actions. Not just, I'm a great worshiper. You know, I worship the Lord for an hour every Sunday. Don't you think it's fantastic? But the rest of the week I'm living for me. I stink up the place, you know, in terms of worship. But again, God is merciful. You worship God throughout the week in actions, in life given to him. Flowing out of that first day of the week, rose on the first day of the week. Mary came to the grave to seek. Jesus met her, by the way, on the first resurrection day. So we worship God together. And then our whole life, as Romans says, Romans 12, in view of God's mercies, we take our everyday, ordinary life, we put it before God as an offering. Our playing, our working, our relationships, our responsibilities, prayer time, Bible time, how I treat my family time certainly is equally important as my prayer time. And it's an offering to God to be enjoyed with Christ. And so he does that. We serve the Lord God and worship him only, coming off of good worship together. And God confronted the people by saying, let there be no contempt of worship. But instead, when people gather, it would be united praise and thanks to God. And again, this happens through Jesus and what he does for us, who he is, his great work on the cross and rising and sending his Spirit. So God said, worship well. And worship with your life. And then God corrects us about marriage and family life. And if you have marriage, you have problems. Right? Don't be looking at your spouse now. If you have marriage, you have problems. God tells us, he knows that. And he can make a peace between two, help them walk together in trust. Bring a great measure of grace and forgiveness and mercy and commitment into the situation. And our marriage really does represent what's going on between us and God. Is there mercy and forgiveness? We receive, we pass on. And God said to us, I'm like your spouse. I'm faithful to you, so be faithful to one another. Don't break faith. And really, that was God was saying, hey, treat me to trust and be in commitment like I have treated you and like you would a good marriage. And God says, you know, even divorce is not in God's language between him and us, and it begins to be put away between ourselves and our spouse. And just thinking of family, church family, you know, oh my goodness, the mercy and help of God in almost every family that I know of, in some extended, either from the wife's side or the husband's side, has been hit by divorce. It's a painful difficulty that God can bring help and healing from. And alive again with Christ, starting right where you're at, brokenness and sin and all, you know. And for those who are together in marriage, we start where we are with Christ, and He makes it right, and it's a reflection of what God would do for us. Think of how you and the Lord walk together through thick and thin. You're going to walk together through thick and thin with some loved one, hopefully, you know, in sickness and in health. You walk together. Think of those times. In poor times and in provision times. Yeah, you walk together. Remember the days where you couldn't make ends meet, you know. Couldn't pay the bills. Yeah, you had, your loved one was there. And God, your best loved one, was there for you. And then to the doctor's office. And then to the hospital, waiting for the surgery to be done, and then to the funeral home, you know, for some loved one. Oh yeah, you faced all those things together. Faced the graduation of the young ones together. Can you believe it? They're graduating, you know. Oh man, it just seems like yesterday you changed the diaper. And all the thoughts that you have. And God makes you one. And you begin to share love with each other in terms of nonverbal communication. I like this one guy had this example. I like this. You could do it with your Christian brother and sister, or you sister to sister, or more likely spouse to spouse. You go out to eat. Maybe you're with somebody else, and you know, who's going to kick you under the table? It's going to be your spouse. You know. Kick you under the table. That one kick means be quiet. You're talking too much. Okay. Two kicks means don't talk about that subject, you know. Three kicks on the shoe means this meal's terrible and this is boring. Let's get out of here quickly. Right? You've had that three taps. Some of you have tapped each other in church like that. Three times. What God makes one. Okay, He can make it one. And He can make it right. And He can, again, start from where you're at. Sin and brokenness and everything. And these become your favorite verses. Love covers a multitude of sins. Toward your spouse, but toward Judah, toward God. His love does that to us. And love endures all things. Endures all things. The illustration of an old Johnny Cash song, I Walk the Line. That was his first hit, 1955. They have music back then. 1955, Johnny Cash. I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. Because you're mine, I walk the line. There's a togetherness God can bring. Husband to wife. Christian brother and sister, God to us, us to God. It's a song of grace. Johnny Cash couldn't live it out. I mean, he tried the best, but he couldn't. Best he could. Notice he didn't say, to make you mine, I walk the line. That's what we would say to God if we're trying to earn His salvation. To make you mine, I walk the line. No, because you're mine, I walk the line. Because I belong to God. So God encourages us, put those relationships under Him, repent, and He brings life. And then Even family life turns fathers to children, children to fathers. That's in the nuclear family, but I think toward in the family of God also. The children, the new Christians, you know, bumping around, don't know too much Bible. I don't have a Bible. Where's Psalms? Where's that at? I don't know nothing about Psalms. Turns the children to the fathers. Oh, these guys, they're a blessing, you know, the ones who have walked with the Lord. And then turns the fathers to the children. Oh, here's a young one, you know, in the faith. I'm toward them. I like to sit with them, you know. And I like to talk with them, and I like to be with them. And the fathers turn to the children. That God can do it, he says, before he comes back. Or else he'll curse the land. So God can do this for the people and for us. And then repentance in terms of stewardship. Do we need a Messiah for stewardship? Yes, we do. Just like our souls do. This is our stewardship problem as a group of people that we are responsible for. Here's a big one. Whoops. Any clock? See if we can get on the clock. We are on the clock. Okay, national debt clock of the U.S. $19,152,000,000,000, etc. Somebody watched it and said, oh, it changes 10,000 every second, you know. And it's not just like this year's taxes is going to take care of this. This year's taxes will take care of this year's bills. These are all the bills that I did not pay for the last, I don't know, since the mid-90s, I think. How in the world did that happen? There's a lot of bills to catch up with. And just like your credit card bill, when it comes in, when you don't pay it, it gets bigger and bigger as time goes on. It's pretty much the same with our responsibility as the nation there. Shut that off before we get depressed. Interest. Get away. Here's our interest. These guys, they're giving us way too much information up here. But thank you. But you know, it's a big problem because it does affect companies don't want to hire people because they say, I got to pay a lot in taxes because I know the tax bill's coming. Okay, the government says, I can't hire anybody to fix the roads or the bridges. We got this. We have yesterday's bills to pay. So it does affect, you know, how we live on an everyday basis. We got 50 cents per gallon tax in Pennsylvania or whatever the case is needed. So where do you start? You start say, oh, Lord, everything comes from you. And we want to be glad, glad stewards. And we give to you first, you know, so we don't rob you. Because if we rob you, everything else, we'll rob everybody else too. Yo. So that, God says, get that right. Put him first in what you have. Praise his name in tithe and offering. You know, and you do it with a good heart, not like resentful. It comes up, you know, I forget how much it is, 10 times in the whole Bible, you know. So if you're a good disciple, you don't talk about it every time, you know. But you say, this is a part of my life. I'm glad to honor God like this. And we could say, how do we start to correct error? Oh, give thanks to God. Everything we have comes from Him. Be glad and generous. I don't think we need to go this far. There was a church in Upper St. Clair, Westminster Presbyterian, who one year decided to take a special offering at Christmas. I think I may have shared this. And actually sent it to the government to help bring down the debt. Good for them, you know. They were saying, we recognize the desperation of the whole thing. And then, so you're thankful, you're generous and glad, and as an individual, you spend less than you make. So that begins to be an example to life itself and to governing and so on. Because look around, and anybody under 20 is going to pay that $19 trillion. We can't pay it. We can basically pay for this year. guys, younger ones. Pray for them younger ones. They're going to be praying for the $19 trillion. God, you know, only God could pull it off if he can do it. Again, we do looking to him. Don't look to men. Men aren't even interested in talking about it. But don't rob God, and be glad and be generous and serve the Lord. And the Lord can bring those changes to our hearts. The whole thing of repentance looks like this in the end, in the chapter 3 or 4. Those who feared the Lord talked to each other. The Lord listened and heard. So we say, we turn to God together. And God says, I'll take up you all as my treasured possession and have compassion on you. God will have compassion. And we'll be able to know between the righteous and the unrighteous. And when we're living that way, and it's like an old song, God sifts out our hearts before his judgment seat. Okay, that's what he does every time we look at his word. And in eternity, he will. He'll sift out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. So be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Yeah, God can help us. And our God is marching on. Our God is marching on. And he would march on because right after Malachi, next page in the Bible, Jesus is born. So I guess God's faithful after all. And he'll help us. So let's be at his table and pray together as his people. Lord, we thank you for Malachi. He talked about these things that need repenting in, and we gladly want to follow you, surrender to you in a good way. Be near to us at your table. So you're the way we worship you. You're the way we approach you. You're the way we obey you. So we say, Jesus is Lord of this worship and table and week ahead. Be with people needing your care. For Nancy Lippi, recovering from surgery, and Jean Walters, for strengthening of her back from surgery. For Barbara Bradley, good news for her ahead, please. And thank you for Bill Freeze's good news. For folks fighting cancer, might there be a remission because of your great work, dear Jesus. And people, loved ones that we love and want to be a Christian friend to. And also, Lord, for Rachel Wilson, praise your name in Ethiopia, and Kindervaders praising you in Japan. Hear our silent prayers as we say it's good to belong to God and to receive from him. Hear our silent prayers.